What's going on, y'all? Welcome to another episode of the Work to Wellness to Wealth podcast, where my goal is to help you work well, live well, and create wealth. We're going to talk about preparing for retirement from a holistic perspective. Probably that's something that you never heard of. What is a holistic perspective for retirement? So we are going to dig into that. And so as always, before I get started, let me begin with this disclaimer that I nor my guest or financial advisors, and the content of this podcast is for educational and informational purposes only, and it does not constitute financial advice. Your financial situation is unique to you, so please do your research and consult with a qualified financial advisor who is familiar with your unique and individual and personal financial circumstances. All right, so let's go ahead and get this party started. So I'm about to bring my guest to the stage. This is Mr. Carl Cook, and I'll let him tell you a little bit about himself. But Carl, come on to the stage, my brother. How you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing excellent, brother. How are you?
Man, I'm good. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast, man. I really do appreciate it. I know the people are going to be going to be blessed by your presence tonight. So I just want to say thank you, and I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Yeah. So me and Carl, how long have we been knowing each other? Since about 2008?
I think so. Yes. Around 2008 when we started at Norcross.
Yeah. So me and Carl, we attend the same church, and we've been serving together. It's really been a blessing. But what we're going to talk about, retirement, preparing for retirement from a holistic perspective. And let me tell you all why I decided to invite Carl on here. You know, like I said, we serve together. So every time I have a conversation with Carl, it's like, Carl, what's going on, man? And, you know, Carl, you would always say, you know, well, yeah, me and my wife, we're getting ready to go and take a trip to X, Y, and Z. We're getting ready to travel here. And after a while, I started to kind of realize, like, man, they travel a pretty good bit. And so it just really made me think, because like getting to that point doesn't happen by accident. So on top of being just a mighty man of God, you have done some things in the natural perspective to position you and your family to be able to enjoy life in retirement. And I thought, it's like, man, you know, that would be something really good to share with my listeners. And I'm going to tell you why this is so important. And I'm going to just read a couple of statistics, and then Carl, we'll jump in. You can jump in from here. So 58 million or 32% of working age Americans have no retirement savings. That one was astounding to me. 43% of Americans are worried about outliving their savings in their retirement. On average, Americans believe they'll need 1.8 million to retire comfortably. However, only 37% of workers believe they'll be able to achieve this goal. Nearly 7 in 10 or 67% of Americans between ages 50 and 75 don't have a formal retirement plan, while 4 in 5 lack retirement planning basics on how to be financially secure. That's a few more. 67% of retirees said they wish they better understood retirement savings when they were working, with 57% saying they waited too long to start. So I think I'll just stop there, but some really alarming statistics there. But so Carl, I'll just let you start there. It's like, when you hear those type of things, what does hearing that mean to you?
It's a little disappointing, to be honest with you. When I hear of a lot of wealthy individuals not paying income taxes, I'm reminded of tax loopholes. In other words, there are things that individuals can do to minimize their impact on paying taxes, which allows them to retain more of the income they make. Okay, so they're not avoiding taxation. They're not evading taxation. They're just avoiding it or delaying it as long as possible. One of the best things that the average person can do when it comes to retirement is participating in a 401k or an individual retirement plan. These are plans that are structured and they're designed to help people accumulate income that will allow them to have income well into retirement. So if you think about if a company is offering a 401k, say for the average working person, and they say they're going to do a 6% match, then that's automatically a 6% return that you're making on your investment without doing anything.
Can you, for those who might not know, when they say 6% match, what exactly does that mean? I just want to make sure.
So that means that an employer will say, for my employees that participate in this 401k, I am going to give them 6% of every dollar that they invest in this plan.
And that sounds like free money.
That's exactly what it is. It's free money, and people who are not participating in that 401k are leaving money sitting on the table. Additionally, with 2025, a person can contribute up to $25,000 a year into their 401k. And anything that you contribute to a taxable 401k, and we'll talk about the difference between a pre-tax and after-tax, okay. But if you participate in a pre-tax 401k, anything you contribute automatically lowers your taxable income. So what that means is that instead of you paying taxes to IRS and the state that you're living in, you're taking that money and putting it aside for your retirement or for your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. So you're also creating generational wealth by doing that. So it's benefiting you now as well as preparing you for the future. And so that's pre-tax. Now there's after-tax. Some people call it a Roth account. Roth accounts are really good because you're paying taxes on the money that you put into a Roth account today. But okay. When you start taking distributions from it, you won't pay taxes. So let's say that the tax rate now may be 20% for an individual. When it's time to retire, who knows what the tax rate will be. So even if it's 30% or 40%, you'll never pay income taxes on the money that goes into a Roth account. So these are things that can be done today that's setting a person up for not just retirement, but also for living and, like I said, for creating generational wealth for their generations.
Carl, we can stop right there, man. We can stop right there. Just those two pieces of advice that you gave right there will be enough to set most people up to be in a very good position for retirement. So you talked about the 401k with the employee match. That's free money. And then even like I work in education, so we have like 403Bs. We don't get the match. But it's pre-tax dollars, and he mentioned the Roth IRA, and so that's something that I heard about, and I started contributing that, and that's such a good point that we get taxed on the money up front, but you don't know what that tax rate is going to be another 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now when you retire, and so that's a really good piece of advice that you don't have to pay maybe a higher tax rate on that money later on down the line. So that's really good. You made me think of, reminds me of a story. I remember when my father was working, he was still working during the time when they had pensions. And my mom was just telling me this story over the holidays. And so he began this new job and they had 401ks. And he initially was just like, I'm not giving those people my money, because that's what the conversation was with the other guys who were working. And this was maybe, you know, probably back in the 90s or in the 80s. And so my mom was just like, well, Sonny, look, that's they're going to give you free money. And just because of the pressure, the peer pressure in a sense, you know, initially he was like, no, I'm not going to do it because that's what everyone else was doing. But thank God he listened to wise counsel. He listened to my mom and she said, Sonny, you need to go ahead and do that. And, you know, he decided to go ahead and do that. And man, when he started seeing how that money started growing, he had to come back and tell my mom, thank you. And then the guys who didn't choose to do it, when they saw it, they was just like, oh, man. And I think that changed some of their minds, too. So a lot of times it's just the ignorance of not knowing a lot of things that causes us to miss out. So
and another thing is some people think I cannot afford to put money into this 401k.
But what
people don't realize is that because you put money into the pre-tax 401k, you're putting this amount into that account, but your impact on your take-home pay is this amount because it's pre-tax dollars. So in most cases, when you're participating in these, you're actually making more money in the long run than you would in the short term, thinking you're avoiding or saving money by not participating.
That's good.
Another thing is people who are participating, as you get pay increases, say you get a 3% pay raise next year, instead of taking that 3% pay raise, dump that into the 401k. You know, it's money that you haven't been accustomed to spending. You know, you're not budgeting for that. So go ahead and dump that in. That's just going to help you even that much further to put more money into your account.
Man, Carl, that's some rich advice there. So you brought up a good point, and I want you to kind of go back and address it a little bit further. People who say that they can't afford it. So what would you say to that person who they just want to enjoy life today? And it's just like, I work hard for this money, so I should be able to enjoy it. Tax season is coming up. I had a tax professional on here last week, and she was just, you know, saying how sometimes she'll provide some financial counsel for people in terms of using that money to better their future. You know, it's okay to enjoy today, but what would you say to that person who was just like, I work hard for this money and I should be able to enjoy today? So how do you balance out enjoying today, which you should, versus or coupled with saving and preparing for your future?
You know, Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. And that's not when we get to heaven. That's on this side. He wants us to have a good life. He wants us to enjoy, you know, the things that we like to do it, but we have to be smart about it at the same time. You know, there's a scripture in Habakkuk that talks about writing the vision, you know, and making it plain that he that reads it may run with it. So one of the things that my wife and I started doing years ago was, first of all, making sure we do a budget, making sure that we know before we get paid where each dollar is going to go. And there's a bucket for spending. There's a bucket for saving. There's a bucket for splurging, if you will. There's a bucket for tithing or giving to charity. So trying to stay within that bucket. And so if we want to take a trip to Spain next year, then we know how much it's going to cost.
Hey, now, I mean, cut you off, but where is that place that you all are going? I never heard of this. This is how you know when you on next level. What's the name of the place where you said y'all are going?
Mallorca.
Never heard of that one. I'm gonna make it there one day. But
but it could be Costa Rica. It could be Jamaica. It could be Dominican Republic. It could be to Disney World, wherever. Yeah. You know, but it's just a matter of setting those funds aside up front so that when you go, you're not having to use Visa and MasterCard to charge your vacation, paying those exorbitant interest fees on those credit cards and going into debt. So that to me, I think is the key, is trying to avoid debt as much as possible. Debt is not our friend. Having a good credit score is good for buying things, but that means that you've had to go into debt to get that good credit score. So I would much rather have the cash than have the credit score.
Yeah, that's interesting. It seems like the key word that came to my mind when you was talking about all this is planning. And you have to plan for the type of future that you want. So I love the concept of what you said of putting money aside in buckets. And I do the same thing, and it helps out a whole lot. Putting money aside for specific purposes. So, you know, he talked about the retirement account. So you got a retirement bucket. He talked about splurge. You got a splurge bucket. I call mine my fun money account. You put money aside from there. Then you got your savings bucket. Put money aside there. Then you have your bucket with your checking. So separate your money out for specific purposes. And one real important thing with that, Carl, is that you have to respect whatever you allocated that money for. Man, I think that's really important, what you said, man. Stick to the budget and put those things in their buckets and, you know, you'll be okay. You'll be okay. That's good. So what are some of the strategies that you all used, you and your wife, as you prepared? And I know you told us a whole lot. Are there any other things that you all intentionally did, or better yet, how much thought did you give to how you wanted to move in retirement? So like, you all travel a lot now. Did you already kind of pre-think, we want to do a lot of traveling when we retire, so we're going to work on positioning ourselves to do that now?
Our thinking was more in terms of having the disposable income to do whatever it was that we wanted to do. Travel being one of them, but not necessarily travel. It was things like not being in debt. That was a goal. Paying the house off early, you know. Not having car payments. You know, having money that we can give to our grandkids, or setting them up with a investment account. You know, letting them have a brokerage account where they can buy shares in whatever they want to buy shares in. You know, if they like Nike, then, you know, put a little money in that Nike stock if that's something that you like. And so they can see how investing can help them in the long run and how that accumulates income. So it's just having the income to do whatever and not being a slave to the lender. Not being in bondage, not owing anyone, you know. So that was kind of our thinking, is wanting to be in a position where we were not a slave to the lender.
Man, Carl, you dropping some nuggets tonight. And what you said about working to eliminate as much of that debt as possible, man, that piece right there, if you can just take care of that part during your working years, you will really put yourself in a good position to enjoy retirement. Because imagine you work all of your years paying bills and then you go into retirement and you still have all of this accumulated debt. So y'all listen, man, be smart on how you manage your money today in such a way that you don't put yourself in a lot of debt. And if you're in a lot of debt, don't get in more debt. You know what I'm saying? Pay what you pay, you know, where you are now, figure something out and don't continue to accumulate debt throughout your working years, because guess what? You're going to have to pay that money back. So that's so, so important. So, Carl, that kind of leads me to another question I was going to ask you, and you probably already answered it, but I'll ask you anyway just to see if you have anything further. But what advice would you give to young professionals like myself about investing and managing debt with a long-term perspective in mind?
Oh, again, any debt that we have, there's interest payments that have to be made on that. So just think, if you have a credit card and you're paying 20%, 25% interest on that credit card, that's money that could go towards your savings or your retirement planning or your college savings for your children or grandchildren. So there are a lot of other things that you can be doing with that. And so the best thing that we can do in, as part of saving is having an emergency fund so that if the tire goes out and you have to buy a tire unexpectedly, there's money there to do that. So you're not having to take the plastic and go do it. There's a bereavement thing where something, you have a loved one that God forbids passes away and you have to travel unexpectedly. You're not having to go in debt to take that trip. You know, you can go to that emergency fund because that's what it's for, emergencies. To do that. So that's the best thing that can take place. And so once that emergency fund is used, or you use it for a purpose, then you replenish that emergency fund, and then you can start back working on a debt cycle and paying off debt. But emergency funds are so important, especially now, because we just never know what's going to happen tomorrow.
But you have to realize, if you live in this life, things are going to happen. Unexpected things are going to happen. I had a real good friend, Carl, a brother that goes to the church. You know, he got sideswiped by a car. You know, praise God, he was okay and everything. But, you know, it was a total loss to his car. And that was something that he wasn't expecting. But, you know, because he did a lot of the things that you talked about, it wasn't nearly as bad as it could have been if he wasn't financially prepared, figuratively speaking, to absorb that blow. So I think the important part of what you're saying is that, no, we're not hoping or wishing or we expecting something unforeseen to happen, but things do happen. I know even for us, we found out we had squirrels running around in our attic. And so, we had to call, you know, wifey was just like, figure that out. So that was close to $2,000 that Absolutely. We had to pay to address that. But here again, to your point, I had been putting aside money all along in our, I like to call mine my stabilization funds. When things happen to try to get you unstable, you got some stabilization money. But I was able to just pull money from that account. Hey, come on and do it. Like, how much, don't matter how much it costs. Come on and come on and take care of this. So yeah, that's real good. Let's shift gears a little bit here, Carl. So getting your finances important, vital, and good, but something that we can't overlook. And remember, we're talking about prepping for retirement from a holistic perspective. All of that financial planning and things that we talked about, the last 15 to 20 minutes, it's not going to really mean a whole lot if you don't have your health. And health, your health is your wealth. It's like, what good is it? I heard, you know, pastor says all the time, if you have a person who has $1 billion or whatever, but they're sick, they're just a sick person with a lot of money. And so when we talk about preparing for retirement, we want you to be whole in your health as well. So if you could just talk about, because even with all of the traveling now, and you can share a little bit of this, isn't there a level of health that you, you know, have to be living at to be able to travel, even especially internationally?
Well, absolutely. And who wants to be trying to get on a cruise ship with a walker or in a wheelchair? When it's not necessary, we can do some things now to prevent that from happening. And so, yet physical activity is very important to us. I try to do 3 days a week doing cardio and 2 days doing strength training, just to be able to stay mobile and to stay functioning. Because I don't, you know, I see a lot of elderly people who are just in a place where they're dependent on someone else to help them and do things for them. And that's not something that I want to do as I age gracefully, if you will. So physical activity is so important. And, you know, you can't just do it based on diet alone. It has to be some some movement. You know, a body in motion tends to stay in motion. A body at rest tends to stay at rest. So it's staying active, staying, you know, if it's nothing but going for a walk after dinner, doing some kind of physical activity every day.
Man, that's so good. And you all have to, you have to start thinking about that now. Like, where you are now in terms of your health is a result of what you have been doing over the last 5 years, 10 years or so, over your lifetime. So even for me, I know when I got this epiphany of just really investing in health for the long term, I remember I said, I'm going to get me like a trainer. And I think this was like maybe 2 years ago. And he's like, well, what are some of your fitness goals? And he was like, but you want to bulk up and build some muscle or whatever? And I said, no, I want to do what I need to do to prepare for my 90 year old self. Mm-hmm. And he was just like, oh, man, I never really heard that before. He's like, but that's a good way to be thinking. And so something shifted in my thinking. And I think it was just watching my mother. Like, I always remember her going to the gym, and she had been doing that like for about 40, I'm 48 now. So probably about 30 years I had been watching her just after work, go work out. Sometimes I'd be with her, and it was an all women's gym, so I would have to sit in the car. But I remember that. And so looking at her now, I think she'll I won't tell my mom age in case she watched this, but you know, she's still living a high quality of life in terms of her health, even at the age that she is now. And a lot of her peers, a lot of the people who are in the same age group with her, I mean, they have all types of different ailments. And you know, to your point of what you said, some of them are, you know, needing walkers and canes and different things. And I have to attribute it to, oh, so all of that work that she's been putting in all these years, she's reaping the fruit of that now. And even to this day, I'll call her, we'll talk at least every other day, and you know, we hold each other accountable. Did you work out today? Yeah, I worked out today. Awesome. And if she didn't, she was like, I got my 10,000 steps in though. And so that's so important. So we just want to highlight to you all, be intentional about investing in your health. And as Carl said, that has a lot to do with movement. That has a lot to do with the type of foods that you're eating. I'm not going to go into a soapbox, man, because I've been studying a lot about the impacts of sugar and carbs lately. And that was one of my, you know, things that was tripping me up. Sugars and carbs, man. Look at the ingredients, and if you don't recognize what it is, then you probably don't need to put it in your mouth. I'm just saying. But sugar and carbs, I'm not getting enough rest, not drinking enough water, nutritional deficiencies, all of those different things over the course of years are going to impact your body. And you know, Carl, it tells us in the Word that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, man. So you got to take care of your temple. But you know, we not gonna preach tonight. Well, you know, we are gonna talk to spirit, man. We are. So Carl, we talked about the financial part in terms of prepping for retirement, or you know, even the next 5 to 10 years of your life. You may be younger watching this. You may not be at an age where you're gonna retire soon, but you're going to at some point get to a place where you're not going to want to work as much as you're working now. And so you have to start planning for that now. So we talked about the financial piece. We talked about the health piece. Let's talk about the spiritual and the emotional piece as well. So let me ask you this question. How important would you say spiritual and emotional wellness is in your retirement journey, and why? So just tell us a little bit about your journey where taking care of and developing spiritually is concerned, and how does that play into your life now and, you know, even in the future?
So that to me is the most important part of all of it. You know, one of the things that my pastor says constantly is if it's something that costs you your peace, it's too expensive.
Oh, and wait, Carl. You got to say that again. You got to say that again, man. That was a bar right there. Say that one more time.
If there's something that costs you your peace, it's too expensive.
God.
And no. So one of the things that I know is that in him, he's my peace. So from a spiritual aspect, you know, he's the Prince of Peace, you know. And so I put a lot of confidence in my faith in him, because it's in him that I can experience that peace and not allow the cares and the worries of this life to interfere with the relationship that I have with him. So the spiritual side is so important. It's like food to me. If I don't have the time or take the time to spend in my quiet, I call my quiet time. That's my time that it's just me and God. Mm. It's just us. And, you know, I get off into a room and I'm in the word or listening to praise and worship music or praying. But that time, man, is so key and so vital to me. And so not trying to, like I said, not trying to preach to anybody else. I'm telling you about me and what works for me. And that's something that I put great value in above anything else, is that spiritual side.
Come on, Carl Cook. Hey, and I'm telling you, this man has helped me a whole lot in my spiritual walk over the years to some of the conversations that we've had. One of the things that I'm finding in my spiritual walk, Carl, is that as my relationship with God develops, I used to have a level of anxious, and I would even say fear, over the unknown aspects of the future. Whether that's, you know, something sometimes can be financial, and sometimes you may something, you know, is your health going to maintain, and relationships, marriage, and all those different things. But as I've gone on and my trust and confidence in God has increased, what I'm realizing is happening now is that the unknowns of life don't really bother me that much anymore. I don't know what tomorrow may hold, but because of this relationship that I have a sense now that whatever comes my way, I know I'm going to be loved and I know I'm going to be okay, because I got the wisdom of God. I got the love of God. I got the peace of God, all these different things. And so it just gets to a place where I don't have to know how things are going to work out, or the things that I don't have control over, they don't bother me as much. And that's a very important place to get.
There's a lot of scriptures that tell us, you know, not to worry, cast all of our cares on him. Take no thought for tomorrow will take care of the things of itself. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your
understanding.
So there are a lot of scriptures that tell us how to live in this world. But the most important part of it is recognizing and realizing that God loves us above all else. He loves us, and because he loves us, everything's going to be okay. Yeah, so it may be dark right now, but light's coming. You know, we just continue to trust in him and know that it's going to work out. So because God loves us, everything is going to be okay.
I hope y'all getting that. That's a word for somebody watching this now. You just have to rest in the fact that you know that God loves you and he got you. He got you. But yeah, just for those who are going things, are there any challenges that you've encountered on your retirement journey that you could share? And how did you overcome it?
For me, I think the biggest one is having to be a caregiver for parents. You know, just never anticipated that at all. You know, so you do go through planning and preparing for this or preparing for that. And, you know, it's tough to watch a parent, you know, just their health failing and having to, to help take care of them and the things that go along with that. So my hats go off. If there's somebody out there that's a caregiver for a loved one, you know, I pray for you. Pray the peace of God be with you. You know, try to do those things that you can to take care of yourself. Pause, take a deep breath, and know that everything is going to be okay. Because God loves you, it's going to be okay. But that's the biggest thing. So me, in preparation for that, one of the things that I've done is gotten something called long-term care insurance. So, you know, we hear a lot about people, you know, needing health insurance. And lately, a lot of people have come up that don't or didn't have life insurance, needing a GoFundMe page to help pay for their final expenses. So, you know, so health insurance is important. Life insurance is important. And for me, long-term care insurance is important as well, because I don't want my kids to have to experience what I experienced, say, with my dad in his final days. So if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's good, man. Thank you for sharing. Can you talk a little bit more about long-term care insurance? What that is, that may be something that a lot of people aren't familiar with.
Yeah, what long-term care insurance is, it's an insurance policy and you pay for it. And what happens is if something happens where you have to go, say, into a nursing home or assisted living, or you have to have someone come into your home to take care of you because of failing health, then that long-term care policy just kicks in to pay those the majority of those expenses, so that you're not having to come out of your pocket or depend on a loved one to come out of theirs. So it's just another insurance program to prepare for what may happen in the future.
And that's so important. And, you know, like I said, again, you know, we're not, you know, speaking anything over, you know, you, your family, anything like that. But here again, even in my own family, my father got dementia in his latter years. And it was, to your point, man, it was just so hard seeing the burden and strain that that put on my mom. And you can imagine, my father was like 210 pounds. And so, you know, can you imagine like that dead weight when he fell down and couldn't get up? And there were many times where she had to call someone to come and help get him up. And so, man, it was just so challenging watching her go through that. But, you know, it got to a point that we eventually did have to put him in a care facility. And I mean, for those of you all who have gone through that, you know, that's like several thousand dollars per month.
Yeah, that cost. Very expensive. Yes.
Yeah. And so, you know, he had some money that he had set aside that we were able to use for that. It wasn't very much, but I think he only stayed in there maybe a month or so before he transitioned. But kind of going back to your point, it's just prepare as much as you can. And I know there's some things that you don't want to think about happening, but you feel so much better if you actually prepared for those things when those times came versus thinking about it. And it's like, I don't want to think about it. And then 10 years down the road, that happens. And then now you're dealing with the financial, mental, and emotional strain of that. So so that's good. But Carl, man, this was a good conversation. That time went by so fast. Before we close down, you have any last thoughts or words to share?
No, just getting back to the retirement part, I just can't emphasize enough how important it is to take advantage of those loopholes that we have access to, the retirement plans, the health savings account, which basically work the same way that 401ks do. So if you have access to an HSA on your job, anything you contribute to those lowers your taxable income. Again, looking at ways to defer paying taxes, looking at ways to leave a legacy for your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. So creating generational wealth instead of giving it to the government. take care of your bodies, trust God, you know, and keep moving. Just don't stop moving.
There you have it, folks. Carl, I appreciate you so much. Again, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us and with my podcast audience tonight. And definitely have to have you on again sometime in the near future.
Awesome. Look forward to it. Thank you, bro.
Okay, man. All right. There y'all have it. Man, Carl dropped some good nuggets tonight. So go back and listen to this again and just take heed. You don't have to do everything at once, but do something now. Imperative, do it now. Something and now. And so, like I said, how you're going to be looking 10 years from now is going to be determined by the choices that you're making today. So remember, again, go to my website at GerardAAnderson.com. Take advantage of some of those free resources. And excited to share this. I am going to start, if you all haven't heard of Fanbase yet, that's a new social media platform that Isaac Hayes Jr. is creating. I'm going to start spending some time over there, and eventually I'm going to transition over there. So if you haven't heard of that, go look it up. Fanbase social media, definitely now will be a good time. It's still early and black owned as well, so I will be transitioning over there sometime in the near future. So just wanted to go ahead and kind of get you all prepared for that. All right, well, thank you all so much for tuning in. I'll be here with another exciting episode for you all next week. So until then, take care of yourself, and I'll see you next week.